Chris, investors need goals.
They do, Kurt, but I'd actually challenge them they need one primary goal.
Just one?
Just one.
Well, welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Now, Chris, what is this one goal you speak of? Shouldn't you have multiple to try and be ticking off all these amazing things in life that we should be doing and achieving and...
I don't know about life, but in property, yes. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't have goals. I actually think you need to draw it way back. I said goal, but there's probably a step before that, which is...
What is that step?
What is your why?
Ooh.
A lot of investors get caught up in the, I need an investment property. And actually, I think part of it is the problem is professionals like us and mortgage brokers and finance planners and accountants talking about tax and rental yield, and we're going to talk, you know, capital growth and all those things. And after that, they're actually more confused than what they were at the beginning. And I want to make every investor come back, really define your why, and then everything else will make sense from there.
Yep. Okay. I think that's a great stepping stone to work out as well for you to kind of also, I know I mentioned life before, but work out what you want from life or what direction you want to head over the next few years, 5, 10. I know it's harder to pick a decade in the future, but some people it might not suit. Some people I know will just want to live a life where they just own one property, their principal place of residence, pay the mortgage down, and they're set and safe, have a family. Bob's your uncle. Some will just want to travel forever.
I actually had an Uncle Bob.
Did you?
Yeah, true story.
Whereas some people do genuinely want to get into the investment space, but they just don't know how.
Yeah, I think it's a very easy area to get confused on. So I think we're going to touch on a few things. So we're going to touch on, we're going to explain a bit about yield. We're going to talk a bit about capital growth.
Yep.
We're going to talk about flipping or developing, so buying a property to then move on. We're not really going to talk about tax depreciation and other things that can bolt on and schemes and grants. Yep. They're lovely. They take away from the why.
Yeah. All I was going to say is on that tax depreciation, please be careful if someone is spruiking to you to get into property investment for tax depreciation.
Calm down. Let the blood flow back. I know it's a bad hate of yours. And we'll do a whole episode on tax depreciation and where people get caught. Oh, no, I agree. So let's bring it back. Let's actually go through some of the mechanics as to what the things, the objectives, the goals.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, we're going to challenge our viewers to pick their why to match to the to match to that objective. So
I think that's a great idea, Chris.
All right. We're going to talk yield, rental yield or yield overall. I'm going to try and break it down quickly. You can Google this relatively fast, but effectively yield is the how much rent you're going to get per week.
Yep.
Times the number of weeks in a year, which is
52.
He doesn't miss a beat. Divided by the price you pay for the property. That doesn't include stamp duty and other things. It's just purely, it's not a perfect metric, but that usually gives you a percentage. We would say typically at the end of your calculator, those numbers, it's 2% or less. It's bad. 3% or around that level, it's acceptable. And it's what it was, not that long ago in Sydney. These days, you're expecting sort of 4 to 5%, which is good. 6 or 7, 8% is great. And 8, 9% is probably a commercial property, to be honest.
More than likely.
Fair?
Yep. Or if you are at that 10%, that range, you're probably, the value of the property is not that high.
Yeah. Yeah. And also if you buy a property, if you bought a property 10 years ago and the rental price has gone up, that calculation you're looking at is what you purchased for it 10 years ago. So the rent a year there is going to be exceptional.
Yep.
We don't take into consideration the property management cost, though you can, but it just gives you a simple number about what you're looking for in yield. Now, Kurt, next objective, so that's rental yield.
Yep.
Looking at having a higher one of that could be an objective. Flipping or development, renovations, what are we looking at there?
Basically, if you do want to do that flipping and development, I'm going to leave development out for a second because that's quite a...
Okay, so let's go flipping, renovating. Yeah,
flipping and renovating.
Right.
Basically, you buy a property for $500,000, you need to make sure you work out how much money you're going to spend on the renovation to the maximum potential return that you could receive.
Yep.
So just say the highest value in the street or property could sell for $800,000. and yours is,
you bought, or has sold. So not sorry. You check the data and you know
has sold for 500. Sorry. No, thank you for correction. You bought for 500,000. You want to spend 50 to 100 grand on renovations. That leaves you $200,000 to potentially achieve. Yeah. You do need to be careful though, is the work you're doing, is it going to overcapitalize? Is it actually going to be useful?
Is it going to go over time? There's stamp duty involved. Yeah. There's other factors.
The in-out cost. A lot of people don't realize this about the in-out cost. Okay, just say you didn't pay any stamp duty on the 500,000. You spend 100,000 renovating. You're now paying $600,000. Yep. You've got 200,000, you think. But then to sell your property will cost maybe 15 to 20 grand in agent's fees. Yep. Add an extra 30 grand on top, an extra 10 grand on top of that for marking, maybe 5 grand for styling, stamp duty.
Some solicitor costs.
Yep. If it is some type of an investment property, just say, then you're going to potentially be paying capital gains tax.
Yep.
So that money that you think you're going to have, you need to make sure you weigh up all the costs for the renovations, everything that's going to go into it, selling, lawyers, what we've just gone over, to work out what your potential
and goal
extra money you will have.
Yeah, I think a scenario where you're buying for 500 and putting $100,000 in, you're going to want more than 800,000 back in return.
Yes.
Picking on your example there a little bit, my friend. Great. Capital growth. Yeah, it's okay. We'll get some tissues for you. Capital growth. So capital growth, where you're looking at that asset's value longer term. So most likely, typically you're looking at a longer term flipping. It's probably 1 year, 2 years, maybe maximum 3 years, and that's probably a bit fast. So usually 1 to 2, if not even shorter. Capital growth is where you're buying the property. You might do some renovations to it, or you may not. But it's looking at that longer term. So you're looking at things like the suburb, the demographic, gentrification. Is there any government planning development? Look at a thing like Brisbane, the Olympics a few years ago really skyrocketed the prices, had an impact on the price of property up there. So you're looking at that and you're really basing, okay, I'm going to sell this probably minimum, ideally 10 years, probably really ideally, you're going to be like 15 to 20 years time. So you're looking at other factors outside of the property itself. You've said this before, and I love this comment. 80% of the heavy listing of the sale of the price is done by
the location.
So if your capital growth is your aim and you're looking at that sale price, you're really coming back to the nuts and bolts. The location's probably, again, doing that heavy lifting. So you want to pick a location that you have confidence, or some other people have influenced or engaged you with, to say this is going to generate strong capital growth.
I was going to say, if you don't quite agree with it, take a 1,000 square meter block out at Broken Hill versus a 1,000 square meter block in the heart of Sydney, eastern suburbs, and I think that about gives you your answer, that
how much different the location is and the price that is. Yeah, no. So those ones, anything else you want to cover off?
Rent investing is probably the last one.
An investment approach.
So you got some people who buy a principal place of residence and then they'll buy investment properties on top of that. Rent vesting is where you're renting yourself and you've got investment properties on the top of that. The only thing I'll say, be careful about that approach, is once you go down the rent vesting path, if you got no plans to get into the market with a principal place of residence, the more properties you pick up, the harder it is to then obtain a principal place of residence.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just add to that. So rent vesting, you buy one property, effectively what you're looking to do is grow that property back to that capital growth, or at least like getting a valuer to increase. The bank comes back and says, okay, you paid 500, a year later it's worth 600. There's $100,000 worth of, you could buy another property thereafter. I see quite common as a buyer's agent in Sydney, people have had a show, they want to buy the 10 properties. They've got to number 3 or number 4. They want to buy their primary residence, and the mechanism they need to do to buy that property is they have to sell one of those investment properties. Now, typically this happens when they've originally started investing maybe as a single or a couple, and these little things called humans or babies come along.
Those things.
And interrupt your flow of what you originally intended. So there's different mechanisms that then happen. And typically what I see is to afford the principal place of residence, because they no longer want to be renting, give their kids comfort, school, you know, be able to do what they want to do, the property they're living in, they actually sell one and sometimes even two of those properties to do so. And it completely ruins and diminishes the whole plan originally. Yeah. is it that, like I go, well, if your plan was to have 10, you had 4, you sold 2 and you have 2 and your principal place, you're probably, you're in a much better position than 99% of Australians don't have two properties as an investment. So you're way ahead.
Yeah. So I think to sum that up, I think there's a couple of options. Try and get a principal place of residence first and then build investments on top of that. Or go in the mindset, if you do want a principal place of residence, but you can't quite get into the market where you're living, is potentially have an idea of maybe getting one or two investments that are not as expensive. You can buy them and then you've got the plan to deliberately sell them so you can go and buy that principal place and then start building the investments on top of that.
Yeah.
That is just general advice, guys, but just making it clear that babies cost money and that you need to be aware that you just can't buy all these investments and then try and get a principal place. It does make it quite difficult.
That's complication. So if we go back to the why. We started today's episode talking about the why. So if you're an investor, if you're buying a property and looking at strong rental yield, what would be your why as to why that is your primary focus, Kurt?
Potentially cash flow to build up actual cash.
Yep. So what would be your primary reason if you're looking to flip?
To flip, to make a bigger jump.
Yep, so it's going to be short-term cash flow pain.
Yep.
To have, but have a higher return than what renting unit itself can ever deliver.
Risk versus reward as well. Be careful on that one.
Yep. So shorter-term risky, but shorter-term gains. Lastly, capital growth. What is your why?
My why is basically set and forget. I'm buying that property. Might do some small works. Buying that property for the long run. I'm not even looking at selling it. I'm planting that small apple tree and waiting for the rewards 40, 50, 60 years down the track.
I like the apple tree. So those aren't the only whys, but those are where we get to. Before you choose your objective or your goal, think of your why. Is it cash flow? Is it short to midterm flipping and money, wealth in the short to midterm? Or is it long-term set and forget the apple tree?
Yes.
Know your why. Everything else is still possible. You can have high capital growth and good rental yield.
Yep.
You can do some work and help flip it in 20 years. Like everything, a combination of all is likely.
This is a very short podcast and we've tried to cram as much information in as you can. But our recommendation is...
Enough really quality information.
Oh, quality golden nuggets. Silver nuggets as well, maybe bronze. The point being, though, is if you want to have further conversations, you're more than welcome to reach out to Chris, to myself, or your trusted advisor to give you your specific scenario, because every individual has their own unique circumstance. And so please make sure you go and seek further advice.
Always.
We just want to open people's eyes up a little bit.
Just drill it back to you. Think of the one why.
Yep.
Okay. Three quick cues. Let's hammer on here. Okay.
When should you start to invest?
Now.
Perfect.
If you're buying same price, so one bedroom property in the eastern suburbs of Sydney versus a two bedroom suburb, let's say a two bedroom apartment, both apartments, identical layout.
Eastern suburbs.
Crow's Nest?
Eastern suburbs.
Okay, good.
Is Broken Hill a great place to invest?
No.
No defending on that one, Chris?
What's the most common thing to break or need attention when you first lease when a property is leased for the first time?
Door handles.
Okay. Yeah.
Kurt's
not a property manager, I must say. He's part of a team that does it, but he's more the sales agent. So I get why he's been like, I don't really know.
I'm a good.
I see ovens and hot water service are two of the more common ones.
My hot water service recently broke.
Actually. Oh, geez.
Why do you love being a father?
Probably the journey.
The journey
can't replace that journey of the first time they're in your hand, hold them in your hand, one hand to him, my son, I was on them now to lift me up. How am I? I'm trying to remember.
Chris is having a moment. In the short commercial.
Oh, sorry. How much would you pay for a painting of your car?
$300.
Couldn't read my writing. True story.
Jesus Christ, man. I was like, what's happening in
here? Sorry, I couldn't read. My own writing. Well, been a pleasure.
Yes, been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for dropping by.
Guys, subscribe, follow, please share with just one person.
Means the world to us.
Just trying to make the world a little bit better.
Know your why.
Know your why.